evening and welcome to episode 87 of the Dexies podcast, brought to you by GatheringMagic.com. My name is Erin Campbell. My guest tonight needs absolutely no introduction. She is the director of global organized play for Wizards of the Coast and has been described by her friends as having a deep love for shoes and giant statement rings. She is Helene Bergiau.
Hello. Hi, Erin. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm very excited to be with you today.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the show. I understand you don't do this very often.
This is correct. Just like normally I don't really talk in public that much.
Well, hopefully I can give people something to remember then if you don't do this that often. So I want to go ahead and get started. So, you know, you did touch on something very important, and I noticed this. I do a lot of research on my guests, and I looked high and low for information about you, and I didn't really find very much. So I had to turn to our mutual friends for things that maybe we could talk about. And one of the things that kept coming up, like I said in the intro, is that you love shoes.
Yes, I do. I just like... It's always very interesting because people ask me, how many pairs of shoes do you have? And say, I don't know. Am I obliged to count? Because in French, you say something which is means like, when you love something, you don't count anymore. So that's how I feel about shoes. I don't count.
If you had to rough guess, though, how many pairs did you say you have?
Well, actually, not that many because I'm trying to donate the ones that I'm not wearing anymore. It's mainly because, I don't know, I have maybe 7 pairs of boots. It's really a lot.
Wow, that's more than the total pairs of shoes that I own.
You see, you make me feel guilty now.
No, I'm definitely new to this. I think a lot of it comes from, you know, my transitioning, and I'm just now starting to appreciate heels. I'm starting to appreciate the different kinds and how you can get an open toe or you can get a wedge or you can get a boot heel. And, you know, I didn't get it for so long, but now I'm really catching on to it, and I'm a big fan.
It's just like it's awesome because you can wear the exact same thing, but depending on the shoes that you wear, it looks different. And all of a sudden, because I'm wearing heels, I'm taller and just like, you know, it's just fun. It's just like a lot of fun. And, anyway, it's just like, it's my weakness. I'm looking at a pair of shoes and I would like them and say, oh, they're affordable. I totally need them. And of course I don't need them. But so yeah, I love shoes. It's just like, and you know, just like we are lucky because now you can find shoes that are both elegant and you can walk with them, which is very useful.
Yeah, and I was also told you have a thing for statement jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
I was given some examples. Natasha specifically told me to ask you about the finger blade.
Oh, yes, this one, yeah. I even forgot that I was wearing it the first time I met her, and she always remembered about that ring. It's a funny ring, which is like it's beautiful, but it looks a little bit scary because it looks like a blade. That's funny. I just have regular ones that are very big, but I have another one that looks also with very lots of spikes. And it's funny because once I was about to board a plane. I was going through security at Heathrow Airport, and the security person stops me and says, "You cannot fly with a weapon like that." And I say, it's not a weapon, it's springs. And it looks a little bit scary, but when you actually touch it, it's really not dangerous at all, because otherwise I would poke my own eyes with it. And it was horrible because she said, no, you cannot fly with a weapon like that. I say, I'm not giving back my ring. So I just turned back, push it somewhere so that I hide it, and just like I said, hi, and then went to another security gate. But say, I'm not abandoning my ring here.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, the blade was just out, like it wasn't retractable or anything.
Oh no, it's not retractable, but it's not sharp. It's just it's real jewelry. It's not
okay.
And it looks like from a distance specifically, because it's like a silver. It looks like as if I were wearing an actual blade, but it's just, you know, very nice, you know, shaped ring.
Wow, so you are armed and dangerous.
I am, yeah. Well, just I have my kickboxing gear with me, so no.
See, I'm a big fan of pearls. I love pearl bracelets and pearl necklaces, and I've had a lot of people say to me that they make me look older. But I think they're very classy. I think they add a little touch of elegance where you can wear, you know, you can wear jeans and like a nice cardigan and put on a nice set of pearls around your neck. And I love them. So if I can, I have pearls in different colors, and that's definitely my jewelry weakness.
I noticed that you like necklaces. Every time I saw you on Peter wearing these necklaces, that relaxed your signature. It's really nice.
Yeah, and I'm very anal about the matching, where it's like if I have the necklace, it has to match the bracelet, which then has to match the hair clip, and if it doesn't, I'll start twitching very furiously, and I just can't have that.
It's funny. I can absolutely picture you just like...
So I want to go back to what I said about you being a bit of a mystery, because like I said, I did look, and I did a very thorough search on you, and I really didn't find anything. I did find a website, HelenBrugio.com, and I was very surprised by this, because, you know, the wizard staff tends to be very open. Like, you know, Mark Rosewater talks about his family often, and, you know, Aaron Forsythe is very honest and open. Are you naturally a private person? Like, was this something intentional on your part?
Well, it's interesting as a question, because I've been looking at things the other angle, being always surprised to see that most American people were so upfront about, you know, talking about their their life. So I guess that your analysis about me being naturally more private person is probably the correct one. To be honest, it always surprised me that people are even interested. So say, well, just like, you know, we can... And it's true that I tend to separate a lot my private life from work life, but it just like... Not even by design, just for me it's natural. So, but I have no difficulty talking about, you know, things that are not work related necessarily. So just like say, oh yeah, I'm fine. But it's true that for me I was looking at things exactly the other way around. Say, oh, that's interesting. Why people do put that, you know, first thing that they talk about is like their family and stuff like that. It's just like maybe a cultural difference as well to a certain extent. It's possible.
And I have to say, I think that was one of the things, like, I remember when I told you I wanted you on the show, I think you were kind of expecting me to want to talk about work. And one of the first things I said right off the bat is, I really don't want to talk about your job. Like, for once, I really want to talk about you. And I thought that might have been one of the things that swayed you, was that you didn't have to talk about work for once.
You know, it's just like, well, it's difficult for me never to talk about work. So eventually, you know, I'm sure that in the course of our discussion, I will talk about work. But, I just like appreciate the opportunity to have a different type of discussion. I again surprised if it's interesting about it, but just, like, that's absolutely, you know, interesting to have a chance to have this type of discussion, because it's actually something that I really enjoy about you know, magic and the overall environment, is that it gives you the opportunity to meet so many people. It's just like, it's one of the best things about that game.
And it's also interesting how the bond is almost instantaneous. Like, I remember I was talking about, I was just at GP Philly in April, and, you know, I got a chance to meet so many of these women that I've met through Twitter, and I don't even really know them that well, but it was a feeling of, specifically, I know Carrie Oliver had needed a place to stay, and we had several other lady gamers that had reached out to us that we didn't know very well, and they were putting out the call for a place to crash, and, you know, Adrian and Natalie, my two other friends, they didn't even really know these girls, but it was simply a matter of, you play Magic, you're a lady, come stay at my house. Whereas I think if it were any other hobby, it would be, why are you letting these people you've never met before in your home? Like, what are you doing? And with Magic, it was just instant. It was like, I like you. I don't quite know why, but I think you're okay. And I felt that way with other people before. There's just an instant bond. I think the game makes a really great icebreaker like that.
Yeah, it's what we like. I particularly enjoy about working for Wizards and on Magic. Just like that sense about, you know, you can meet new people all the time, and just like, and there is no, you know, just like, there is not really stereotype. You are going to meet people from all different ages, all different type of job, and talking, you know, hearing about their experience, talking to them, you always learn so much about just like the world in general. It's fascinating, just fascinating. What they like to eat, just like how things are happening in that part of the world. It's just like, oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's also nice that we get to see them again. Like, I played World of Warcraft for a long time, mm-hmm. and once a year they would have the BlizzCon. That was their big convention, and, you know, there was so much happiness there because you were finally able to meet these people. But then there was a bit of sadness because, you know, you didn't really have a reason to get together again for another year, whereas the great thing about GPs is I can see my friends in Philadelphia that I've bonded with and that I love, and there's another GP the next month, and you're like, I'll see you in 30 days, and, you know, there's not that feeling of you're so great, but I'll never see you again. You know you'll run into these people again and again.
Yeah, and sometimes it might take longer than what you expect, but you know that eventually, you know, paths will cross again. So, yeah, I get that. It's just like, that's why it's just like, I think it's so exciting when you put together these events, because you know that it's going to bring together so many people who are sharing the same passion, and just like the story that you were saying about, you know, you meeting face-to-face people who have been only communicating via Twitter, is like, it's wonderful. It's just like, oh, that's why I love my job.
So I want to go back. So let's take me all the way back to France. So what were you like as a child? Let's go to childhood.
Well, as a child, I was small. Haha, sorry. So I was born and raised in a small city. Well, anyway, in France, you have Paris and you have the rest of France, so... That's a fact. And it's funny because it took me a while to realize how beautiful that city is. It's just like, it's a real postcard. It's like a southwest of Paris. So it's about 200, not even 200 miles from Paris. And it's a real postcard. You have these castles everywhere, just these fabulous buildings. It's just like, you know, so it's amazing. Everything just like it's you take the time to enjoy life, because just like it's what happens in small cities. But of course, as a kid, I could not wait to grow up and to see the world, because I was thinking, say, I want to live in Paris, I want to move out, I want to do all these things. So I probably didn't realize at the time that I was living in such a beautiful environment. And also, you know, I was having two brothers, so just like say, hey, I love you, brothers, but just like say, I've seen enough. Brothers, I need my own space.
Two brothers, no sisters?
No sisters, yeah. I'm just in the middle. I have an older brother and a younger brother, which has had the very bad idea to be born on the exact same day as me, so I was stuck in having to celebrate our birthdays on the same day. Just like, so living in a relatively small city, waiting for the next big thing, I would say. Just like, but I had a nice childhood. My parents were taking us on a long vacation over the summer. We were very lucky, camping for, you know, a few weeks in the south of France, meeting friends from all over the France, there. Mm-hmm. Going on road trips, so that was the good part. The other part was like saying, well, just like school was just like a way for me to get somewhere, so I was getting bored. But yeah, just like I knew that it was only just like, you know, a matter of just like managing to graduate, go to college, and then being able to fly back by myself. I still have some friends, you know, from that time who are still living in that city. It's really nice.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very nice to see them now and then. It doesn't happen often because it's really like, you know, not super easy for me living in Seattle to go back to Tours. I was lucky because I managed to spend a couple of days in my hometown after the last pro tour in Valencia. When you think about it in the grand scheme of things, Spain is super close from France, you know, when you're coming from the U.S. And it was lovely, you know, I was just like, oh, I miss so much that type of food and walking in the neighborhood. It just like, it was really great, and spend a couple of days with my parents, who I don't see that much. So, yeah, if you ever go to France, I know that everybody goes to Paris, thinks about Paris first. But seriously, where I'm coming from, the Loire Valley, with all the castles, and we have also decent wines, it's pretty. Mm-hmm.
Do you miss that simpler way of life that you described too?
No.
No?
To be really honest, not really. It's something that I enjoy as a, you know, to visit, But I know that after a couple of weeks, I would already be looking, say, I need to get out of here.
You'd be going stir crazy.
Yeah, to relax for a couple of days, just a vacation is absolutely perfect. It's great. Mm-hmm.
So there's a bio on your website. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're aware of this. And it tells all about your journey to how you got here. And once it gets to your college years and your teenage years, it describes you as being, and I'm probably saying this incorrectly, but an enfant terrible?
It's pretty good. It's enfant terrible, yes.
Okay. And what does that mean? And were you that?
Well, I was kind of enjoying life at the time. I still do, by the way. it's funny because I was talking about my brothers, and specifically my older brother was so perfect. He was so perfect for the number of instances. We get along very well, by the way. But I decided that, I had to be different because I could not reach the same level of perfection. So my only option was to be different. And so not necessarily being the type of perfect daughter that my parents
to rebel. Have.
Sorry?
To rebel. Like you rebelled?
Yes, yeah, kind of, yeah. But I was saying, hey, trust me, I will manage to go through college, I will do my things, and you will see I will get there. So, and they were like, okay, see, we trust you. Yeah, a little bit, but it was not that bad. It's just like, say, hey, how many years am I going to be in college? I should better enjoy, Afterwards, I know that I want to work because I want to be financially independent, so I don't know what's coming next, so let's enjoy the present. That was probably the first time in my life, because after being feeling bored and looking forward to the next thing when I was younger, I say, hey, that's great. Now I have this couple of years that not too much pressure because I'm doing fine in terms of completing my studies. Why should not enjoy it?
Do you still have that take a bite out of life attitude today?
Well, of course, I'm older. I'm not quite sure. You should ask people who know me.
Well, you had just mentioned, sometimes, you had mentioned the fact that you understand that certain things need to get done, but you also really want to enjoy your life as well. Do you still feel that way? Do you still make time for yourself, given your busy schedule?
Well, I don't make time for myself as much as I would like to, but again, I'm just trying to enjoy the time when I can. Just like if we travel, of course, we are going to work hard. I need to catch up on the work that I still have to do at work. But say, hey, I'm not going to stay in my hotel room all night long to catch up on work. Let's make sure that I take that opportunity to go out with all the great people who I'm seeing only, a couple of times a year. So yes, in that sense, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So there was also something else I was surprised to see in your bio. There was talk about you having a talent for singing. Is that true?
Well, for the record, that website was prepared by my coworkers in Belgium, when I was still in Belgium. Why did we do that? Oh, yes, we did that before I relocated to Seattle as their goodbye gift. So there is a little bit of interpretation on their end. Some things are a little bit sarcastic.
but so you don't know how to sing?
Well, no, I can sing. Just it's just the type of songs that they refer to. I'm not sure that I should be singing that. Everybody. It's just the type of songs that you learn when you are college age, and just they are very entertaining, and they're in French. Actually, I should probably be able to sing that, would not offend anybody.
So. There's going to be that one person listening who speaks French that's just enraged.
Yeah, it's like, what's that? Yeah, I probably should not do that. You're right. That's the reference, because we would start like that, and even after college, just now and then when going out, starting singing songs, because it's always fun. And but generally speaking, I love singing, and not only this type of songs, because I've been for a number of years. I was having a how do you call that? Sorry, teacher for singing lessons. I was singing opera, by the way, so it was great. Yeah.
Wow.
But
nice. Yeah,
it's just like, yeah, it's beautiful when you can just like work on your voice, and week after week you see the progress that you are doing. And the only thing that was not working quite well for me is that my teacher was making fun of me because apparently I was singing Italian songs with a German accent, so that was not very effective.
Kind of sounded like Klingon opera almost.
Anyway, so yeah, singing is just like, it's something that I miss, and if I had more time, back to your previous comment about just like, say, if I take enough time, I would love to resume having a coach for singing. But I decided to do other activities. I say I prefer to do something and try to do it the right way instead of, you know, sampling a little bit here and there. So maybe one day, you know, I will be able to go back to singing, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy karaoke? Because I understand there's a lot of people in Seattle who like that, and that's a big thing of the after parties. Do you ever get up on stage?
Yes, I do, but just like... there is something which is hard for me that obviously like everybody can listen. I have that accent because it's, you know, English is my first language. And so sometimes catching up on the lyrics when it's karaoke, just like, no. It's not very easy, but I have a couple of songs I'm very comfortable with, so I'm fine. But I'm not a pro like there are people in the building that are super, super, super nice at karaoke. If you are just like with us at an event where there is a karaoke, you should really tag along. That's really a lot of fun. The only thing is that when I'm singing like that, I was, because, you know, the first time, when was it? Oh, yeah. That was after the World Magic Cup in Amsterdam. We were in a super small karaoke bar. And I said, oh, yeah, it's really itching me. I really want to sing. So I said, I go on stage. And I see like 15 players grabbing their phone and with camera. And then I look at them and say, you have to understand me. If one of you post that video, just like, you're not going to play magic for a long time. Which was, of course, I would never do something like that. Of course. But just like saying, please, I really don't want to see myself anywhere. But it's a lot of fun. Anyway, it's just like karaoke, just like it's, I don't know, just like you express yourself, you just like it's a, excellent way of, you know, getting rid of any type of pressure. So it's wonderful.
I do have to ask you what songs you're comfortable with.
I love singing Creep from Radiohead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a big fan of Radiohead. I have a huge crush on, you know, Thom Yorke. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I saw him live once. And the first time, sorry, I saw him live. And I was thinking, you know, he was singing for me only, of course, in my dreams, but oh, he's just like so talented. Oh my gosh.
The spotlight just shines down on you alone in the crowd, and you reach out your hand like, oh.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, just like, leave me alone. It's only me, I know, but ignores the rest of the crowd.
I remember growing up, I grew up in the 80s, and there was the Bruce Springsteen video with Courtney Cox. I think it was for Dancing in the Dark.
Oh, yeah.
And I know he brings her on the stage, and she feels like she's, you know, he's singing to her, and then they dance together. And I've wished I had that moment before. So this bio that you now told me may be a little bit embellished, which we're going to debunk while we're here, indicates that your singing led to you meeting your husband. Do you have a husband?
I do.
You do? Okay. So did that happen? Did your singing woo him?
I'm not quite sure about where it's come from because actually our musical versions are very different. It's really classic rock. And so we would always say, you listen to crap and I'm listening to the right music. No, it's we have lots of bands on which we are in agreement. So I'm not quite sure where it comes from, but we... Because, I don't know, just like, and I'm sure that it comes from somewhere because the people who were writing that were not just like, you know, making up stories. I will have to think about it a little bit more. But, I'm wondering if it doesn't come from just like, me sharing some stories that happened when I, you know, the time I was meeting my husband, where we were having, spending some weekends with friends. And yes, of course, during these weekends with friends, we end up singing. And yeah, he was just like very supportive of my singing. So we were in the same group of people partying, actually. That's really what was going on. I had the most incredible dream, actually, about singing during one of these weekends.
Yeah?
Yes, it's I still remember about it, and just like it's a long time ago. So, but first off, I need to ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the Eurovision?
Which, yes.
Yeah, so that cheesy song contest.
I love it. I have friends that live tweet it, that we live for it. It's a good time. I have a couple songs from it on my iPod. Yeah. I'm there.
But you have to watch it for knowing what it is. You see what I mean? Yeah.
Yes.
So, and it's a big thing in Europe, you know, just like you have to follow. And so we were spending one of these weekends, which was involving, you know, just like, you know, drinking with friends and singing some, you know, songs for the not all audience. And during the night, so my dream is the fact that I'm being selected, so stupid, to be the secret weapon of France for the next Eurovision. And so, of course, I'm just like super thrilled, just like the secret weapon of France. That word is so ridiculous. And I went up to the stage in the dream where I end up in Switzerland to practice in a very nice wooden, you know, chalet. And I could see that beautiful mic, and I was in the studio, and I was there. I can tell you in my dream that was very, very real. I woke up before just like I had to be on stage for the Eurovision, but it was so funny. And just like, how can I dream this? Tell me a message about actually me wanting to be singing the Eurovision. I don't know, but it was funny.
I just had a thought. You know, we were talking about you, again, I'm going to say this wrong, but the Enfant Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That could be, like, their name for you. So, like, France isn't doing very well in Eurovision, and they're all like, you know, what are we going to do? And they're like, we will call the Enfant Terrible. And then she comes out, and you are the secret weapon. Like, that could be
yes.
A code name, you know?
And just like, coming straight from Seattle. That would be hilarious.
They would never see you coming.
Oh, no, just like, that's just like completely just like out of the blue.
Well, so with that said, though, how did you meet your husband, if I can ask?
Oh, yeah, we met in college.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Love at first sight?
Not really.
No?
We were fighting a lot, actually. But because, again, different type of music, and thinking, say, why is this guy talking to me about German writers that he reads in German? Say, I know, just like his German is better than mine, but what the heck, whatsoever. And but we had a lot of friends in common, so that's why we were just like in a very nice and tight group of people. That's how it started. And then he was, you know, willing to follow me. Just like, hey, we'd like to be there and there. So that was really great.
Well, it's cool that he was supportive of that, all the moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the first move to Belgium, it didn't seem like a big leap because, yeah, I was living in Belgium for 8 years. Mm-hmm. It's not too far from France, that's okay, but still living in a different country. Of course, moving to Seattle was a much bigger deal. And we had long conversations, especially with the kids, because it was for my daughters to say, hey, it's going to be far from the family. So, but they were extremely supportive. They were seeing the opportunity as well. So here we are in Seattle.
So let's talk about how you ended up in Seattle. How did you even get started with Wizards of the Coast?
So I started with Wizards of the Coast, first off, many, many years ago. It all started back in 1994, yes. I was at the time working for Hasbro, company that was belonging to Hasbro. And I was working on games. And my boss tells me once, hey, we are just like, we have to spend a couple of days in London, in the headquarters, to play test a new game that is like the new thing in the US. This game is Magic. Said, oh, cool. I was very excited because normally I was not, you know, part of the group moving, traveling, sorry, to the UK for business meetings like that. I said, wow, that's pretty cool. And of course, I want to make sure that I'm prepared. So looking forward to that session, and I receive a pack of cards to get prepared. Then I open the pack of cards and open the rule book and say, why is this thing talking to me about Dominaria? I have no idea what it is. And I was so ashamed. I go to my boss. I say, well, I was trying to read the rule book, but I'm not quite sure about what this game is about. And she looks at me and says, the same. Don't worry. We'll figure out when we're there.
And that rule book, I remember that was pretty big back then.
Yes.
And it was thick.
I can tell you that I studied a lot the story of Dominaria. And so, you know, just like, I was both excited because I said, I've never done that type of, you know, two-day playtesting, that's a lot, but I'm not quite sure about what to expect. And so it's so funny because we also met the very original team from Wizard of the Coast. They were there, to present their game. And the way we were being taught how to play was not making any sense because we just had a piece of paper telling us, and I was told, don't even try to understand what is the purpose of the game, just follow these steps every turn. So untap your cards, untap, yeah, and okay, draw a card, do that, and so at the beginning I said, okay, I'm just going to follow my instructions. And after a while, I had so much fun. When I finally understood what it was, I had so much fun. I said, wow, that game is like nothing else that I've been played so far. This game is just like, it's amazing, and it was really like, again, back in 1994, so quite at the beginning. So anyway, it didn't go any further than just a playtesting session, but I had that on the back of my head about, that's a game that we are going to hear about. And the year after, I was on the job market, and I see just like that Wizard of the Coast is opening an office in Paris and is looking for a marketing manager. And then I say, well, you know, I have a marketing background, marketing degree, marketing background, and I know how to play Magic. That job is for me. That is totally my job. I don't get my job. And it's funny because I don't think that I ever had that level of confidence going into a job interview, just because I say, I want my job and I know that I can do it. And so that was very exciting. The whole beginning was like, we didn't really know what to know. It was so new, opening of that office, only 8 of us in Paris.
8 of you?
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
So we were doing everything, just like, I was working, you know, straight weeks for, I don't know, for that, that's part of the, you know, exciting times when you just like, have the chance to work on something which is brand new like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not knowing whether it's going to take off or whether it's going to crash?
We had no benchmarks, so not being clear about what to expect, what was actually the size of the market. And you know, we launched at the time, we were having the very first French version of Magic, which was called Magic L'Assemblée.
I would play the heck out of that.
Yeah, it was like Ice Age. It was my first expansion that was translated, Ice Age, yeah. it was, you know, so, yeah, lot of things being, like, in flux, and that was a little bit blurry, because, again, you know, we were just, like, doing so many things, but after a couple of years, I was offered a job in the European headquarters, which were in Antwerp at the time, so I moved there, and that was very different, because, you know, again, I had the chance to keep on working on the game that I really liked, and taking a job with a full different dimension, because it was like, you know, working with a lot of different countries, and is how I started traveling, so it was really nice. It's interesting because at the time I was offered a position in Belgium. That was also at the time where Pokemon was at its height.
I actually quit Magic for Pokemon once.
Really?
I did. I know. I'm sorry.
And but anyway, just like, you know, you were probably not the only one. That's okay. You came back. You came back.
I did, and I'm staying.
And so just like, but when I was first offered a job in the European office, I was, you know, I was supposed to work on Pokemon, and Pokemon looked like the no-brainer in terms of choice, because, you know, the game was working very well, so it meant a lot of, you know, budget to be able to spend, so lots of fun things. And at the time I was saying, really, Pokemon seems like the, yeah, but I really want to work on Magic, I really want to work on Magic, I really want to work on Magic. So I stuck to that plan, and I got the job on Magic, so I was happy. And I think it was the right choice, actually. because it was not as easy at the time as a Pokemon, but, I'm still here, you see, so, yeah, probably the right choice.
And now you're the director of Global Organized Play. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What has it been like watching the game blow up? Because you were there for sort of the humble beginnings, and now it is bigger than ever. It's growing every day. What does it feel like to watch something literally from the beginning grow into this?
That's just amazing. That, you know, when I was starting with WotC, of course it was with the hope that I would see the game grow. But you cannot picture something like that. You cannot just imagine it. And, you know, just like, when I'm looking at, just like GPs, where now we have 4,000 players. That's crazy.
And yeah.
The number of players who are just participating in the pre-release, and that level of excitement around the new set, it feels like, because I had the chance to experience that first line, I felt that it's, you know, it's part of me, you know, just like, I'm not in the role of spectator, but just like, you know, I felt that I belong to that environment, and just like, it's extremely rewarding, because when you feel that, you know, there is such a good game, and, you know, there are so many talented people who are working on making sure that we continue just like bringing good programs, good cars to players, and you are seeing that, you know, level of follow-up. That's amazing. That's why I'm still here, actually.
Yeah, I know. I love seeing the pictures. Like, I know after GP Vegas happened, there were like these aerial shots, or like people had taken pictures from upstairs, and just seeing it from above all of the tables. And I got to go to GP Richmond this year, and that I think was over 4,300. Mm-hmm. And there were people that were taking like these panoramic pictures of like the entire room, and knowing that there were two different halls full of players, it was just crazy. And there was such a vibe in the room that I can't even describe it, where you didn't even really have to play to sort of feed off the energy. You could have just sat at a table with your hands in your lap and just soaked up the excitement and soaked up the enjoyment. And it really was intoxicating. And to think that there are people, like, I know they wanted to cap at 5,000, so it could have been even bigger. Mm-hmm. And there is talk that it might even get bigger, and just be like, wow, like, you really have to like take a second and just think about it. Like, how did we get here? Like, this is wild.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's just like, it defies just your own imagination. I will tell you, because just like before Vegas, so it was a couple of months before Vegas, and I was talking with Scott Larrabee, and because the organizer was thinking, I think I could get 4,000 players, and of course we wasn't out of just like anything that we have been thinking, just like way beyond any projection so far. I was looking at Scott to say, Scott, do we even know how to run 4,000 people? And then say, well, we have never done that. And, you know, we were just like saying, we have to try, you know, just like, let's see how far the players can take us. We have just like to follow that lead. And, of course, we had to, the organizer had to cap the attendance after a certain, one, because he couldn't find enough judges.
Yeah.
But just like, I'm glad that actually we opted for that angle, just saying, let's see how far the players want us to go. And let's make sure that we are just like being as prepared as possible, so that it's still a good event for everybody, because people are going to remember about it. And it's exactly what you are describing, your experience from Richmond, because it just like, the word that you are using, energy, that's exactly what it brings. You know, just like, you are getting this just like, all that energy, and you say, okay, Now I just, like, I want to make that happen again. I want to make it better. I want just, like, to share with even more people, because that's something which is so unique. And especially in our world where it seems to be easy to communicate with others, because you have, you know, phones and whatsoever, but nothing is, like, as powerful as just, like, the opportunity to meet face-to-face with others. And that's exactly what is happening at these magic events. I know that most people, they don't expect to win. They are not here to win the tournament. They are here because it brings them much more than that, actually.
So. And it's infectious. Like, I definitely felt like after Richmond, like, I've been bit by the bug, where, like you said, you know, I missed that feeling. And a lot of it is because I have a podcast now, and I'll admit that I had people come up to me, and I signed a couple cards, and I got to sign some playmats, and I got to hug some listeners, and but I really missed, you know, seeing the people that I got to see while I was there, because you get used to them being around the corner when, you know, I'll just invite this person who I know from Twitter to brunch, and I know that they'll be there. And I was a little sad afterwards when you had to go back to real life and normal life, and, you know, all of these people that you sit across the table from or that you know on a first name basis are not just around the corner anymore, and you have to go back to your desk job, and you have to go back to your responsibilities. And there was a while there where I would just look at the GP schedule and I was like, I need to get that feeling back, and under any circumstances I need to be back in that feeling, in that zone, and I miss it when I'm not around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like that. Oh, yeah, I like to hear that, because it's the way I feel it, so knowing that's obvious, that's very good. That's really nice.
Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about was, you know, the fact that you are in a very, very important position, and you also happen to be a woman. What have your experiences been, essentially, as a spokesperson for Wizards who does happen to be a woman? Have they been pretty positive?
I like the way you just, like, you phrase it, because, yeah, I prefer to say that. actually, the whole experience has been extremely positive to me. I was, you know, not really thinking of going into that job, well, which I had for a while, becoming a spokesperson. I just say, well, people want to want to talk. Say, that's fine. It's just, like, I'm happy to become a spokesperson. And then people say, yeah, you're a woman. I say, yes, that's a fact. but overall, it gave me the opportunity to learn a lot about my job, about myself, about players. So it has been extremely enlightening as an experience. Just, like, getting very different perspective on what we are doing. Just, like, all these opportunities to look at the events from the players' angle. Just, like, getting their views about what we are doing is great. And but myself, because just, like, it's always like, oh, I was thinking that, you know, okay, I have to, you know, interesting learnings as a person. And I have to say that beyond these things that are really, like, super positive by themselves, it's primary what I appreciate the most. Sorry, I'm not speaking Charlie anymore. What I appreciate the most is that it gave me the opportunity to meet so many people, so many great people. And you were talking about women, specifically women, because just, like, I've been always, you know, mainly in environments with a lot of men, just, like, you know, my brothers, my studies, everywhere. So I didn't realize that, you know, for me it was the norm. It has always been the norm. And all of a sudden I have, you know, these women that come to me, because it's just, like, and I felt it was very nice to just, like, say, hey, I never had that before. I enjoy it, actually. So it gives also a different perspective on the game, and exchanging a lot of ideas, and talking about shoes at the Magic Tournament is awesome. so that's how I would just, like, describe my overall experience. Of course, there are just, like, sometimes at worst has been a little bit, you know, tense, and this is where I say I learn about myself. I learn about, say, okay, it's time for me just, like, to take a break, to breathe, and just, like, it's okay. But it's really an exception. Just, like, I really enjoy it, actually. It gives.
Is there-
mm-hmm, sorry.
I was just going to say, it's definitely very inspiring for me, and I'm sure for other women as well, you know, to see people like you and, you know, Elaine making such an impact on the game like you have. And, you know, I have friends who work for the company who also happen to be women, and they're making their own mark. And, it inspires me. It makes me want to try for that. And I love that. I love I love that, because I do feel like, you know, the game does sometimes get a lot of flack for the overwhelmingly male audience and sometimes for the way that the art is depicted, but, you know, seeing important people that happen to be women making change, you know, I feel like I'm being represented. I feel like there's somebody that could be me there that is speaking for me and that is doing people like me proud, and I really like to see that.
And I appreciate that, because it's not something that I had identified myself before. You know, a few women were telling me, and I said, oh, I didn't realize, but I'm happy to embrace that if it just like means that for you. Okay, I will make sure that I will stop swearing that much. No, it's just like, it was a little bit scary at the beginning. I said, well, you're just like thinking that I'm representing more than I do, just like I'm just doing my job. But actually, just like, again, I'm looking at that as the opportunity to meet really tons of great people and get their perspective. It's something that just like makes my job much more than a job. So that's really super rewarding.
Do you view it sometimes as maybe an opportunity to win, you know, some of the male players over? Because you do sometimes see them go, oh, there are no women in Magic, and women don't play Magic, and they have those ideas, and yet here you are essentially at the top, and, you know, they do have to sort of reconsider, like, whoa, she's in a really big position, and she's a woman. Maybe I shouldn't think like that. Maybe I shouldn't talk like that. Do you think that might be a learning opportunity, too?
It's very hard for me to answer that question, because I'm not sure that there is one universal answer. It could be depends on the individual. And, you know, just like, I'm still seeing people who are just like, whenever I'm just like walking with one of the people in my team who tends to be a male, not everybody, but so often people just like turn to him and think that he's the boss, because he's the guy, so he has to be the boss. So, which is fine. I'm just like, you know, through my whole career, I went through lots of things like that. But I hope, actually, what you were describing as a situation, just like, I hope it will help, bring more light to the fact that there are actually more women than what everybody thinks in the game. Because I was just like this morning, I found out that the scorekeeper for the next Pro Tour is Kelly Anderson. Super, super excited.
Yeah.
You have just women everywhere in the judge community, of course the players, just like
POs
everywhere. Just like they are maybe not just like the one going up front and starting talking public, but they are here, and will people will notice them more and more. Yes, I'm sure about that.
Now, one of the, I consider to maybe be a downside of your job, is you do a lot of traveling. I'm very fortunate to be friends with you on Facebook, and you like to check in places. And one weekend you're in Buenos Aires, the next weekend you're in Canada, the next weekend you're in New York. Does this affect your personal life at all? Like all the globe hopping, any jet lag?
It's, there is some pros and cons, I say, for everything. The jet lag, being spending hours on the plane, is just like, it makes me cranky, and I hate packing. I dislike packing to an extent which is like unbelievable. So people say, you should prepare having some list and stuff like that. I don't even need a list. I know what I have to pack. I just eat it. That's why I always finish right at the time where the taxi driver is here, say, hey, packing finished. So that's
I'm surprised you don't just have like a permanent suitcase for as much as you travel, with just everything in it, and you don't even need to unpack.
Oh, no, I need to adjust, like, you know, depending to adjust to the season. that part is not the best part, but there is the reality is that it's really difficult to for me to do my job, being always in the office environment. And the office environment is like the best, you know, one of the best that you can think of, because the diversity of people, you know, you just interact with so many different departments, so it's awesome. But ultimately, my job is about looking for events, so just like, what's the best way, just like, to look at events when they happen. And all the difficulties that are tied to travel and the bad food and everything, because airport food, you know, I must say that.
Terrible.
It's just like completely offset by whatever I'm getting from whenever I travel. Because every time I'm attending an event, I have, you know, just I come back with new ideas, you know, just like even more energy because that person has been telling me that and I've observed that. So it gave me just like say, hey, maybe we should look at, you know, changing this, this and this. So, you know, just like I think it's worth it. I really think it's worth it. And, also to have the chance to observe the game, in real life, and not necessarily only in the same area, gives you a perspective about what is the same and what might be different. Because, you know, as you were mentioning, my role is about a global role. So yeah. Just understanding how things happen outside of Seattle is very useful.
Now, one of the things that people really like about you, Helene, is the fact that you're so connected to the community. Like, people can tweet you morning, noon, and night about their GPs or their FNMs, or they can send you a Facebook message, and the odds are pretty good that you would reply to them. With that said, though, do you ever get the opportunity to turn off, to just be like, you know what, I'm going to read a book tonight, and I'm going to eat some ho-hos, and I'm not here, and I'm not going to answer. Do you ever get to do that?
Erin, I have to do it now and then because just like, I'm trying just like not to ignore messages because, oh my gosh, they need some help. But just like, I felt that just like people, if I can help people, I should do it. But now and then, I'm just trying to take a little bit some time off. The most difficult part is when I'm on vacation because I'm trying to say, hey, I'm not here. And of course, just 2 minutes later, I just like say, yeah, but say, well, can you try to contact somebody else? And I don't want to let people down. But the best way to always, stay positive for me, just like it's the fact that it doesn't become a chore. Just like I feel that I have to do it, but I feel that I want to do it. And that's why now and then I say, hey, that's the evening. Well, and I just like, and I had a couple of drinks, so maybe I should not answer Twitter anyway. just like a way for me to find the balance. And, and sometimes I should probably do it a little bit more. I should about that.
It's interesting that you would say, you know, I appreciate the emphasis on the fact that you do it because you want to, not because you feel like you have to. That's a really good answer.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the last things I wanted to ask you about is you've obviously been with the company a very long time. You certainly don't show any signs of slowing down. The game is only getting bigger. The events are only getting bigger. What is it about that your job that helps you get out of bed every morning and keeps you going?
Just like, you know, there are many people who think, oh, I have a desk job or whatever. But I could not even describe my job like that. You know, my job is amazing. It's about making people play. So I feel that I'm extremely lucky. I will just give you a small anecdote about how I realized what my job meant. We were shooting a video with some Magic players in San Diego, and a local player helped me wrangle some local players just because we need to show people playing Magic. And there is a break, so we bring in pizza, we start having pizza, and we social chit-chat about who's doing what. And all of a sudden that gentleman who was here explained that his role is to protect children. So it's like, you know, when there are children who are very bad situation and their family or foster family.
Sure.
To take them back and just like having some intervention. And then when he was explaining what was his role, the whole room went silent because we felt like, oh my gosh, we are just like, this guy is doing something super important. You know, he's saving kids. And then I was thinking, oh my, just like, it's amazing what you are doing. And just like, I felt that I'm doing such a stupid job in comparison. And then he was looking at me and say, well, you know, just like, you are bringing, you know, people work in gaming era, in gaming companies, you are bringing just like something fabulous to people. Just like, you give them the opportunity to play and to evade their, life, and he was telling me, this is why I'm here today, because my job is super important, but I need to escape now and then. And then he was saying, oh yeah, that's pretty awesome, actually. Stop looking at that and just like, looking, you know, at my job from the angle about how we can just like, provide all these players with something that they like, they enjoy doing. That's great. Just that's what makes me want to come in the office every day and not even saying, oh, I didn't sleep enough. That's fine. I will just take another coffee. That's what I enjoy. And, when you, you know, you have seen magic growing so much over the years. I don't want to leave it now here. Just like I felt that there is always something more that we can do. Just like, we are in a very good spot, just like to, you know, do even more things with magic. Who would have been thinking about, again, you know, 4,000 people GP only a couple of years ago? So I'm sure that, you know, we are just that close from the next big thing. So that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Is it ever, do you ever have to sort of remind yourself about that? Because it does seem like it'd be very easy to get bogged down in the numbers and the business side of things. And, you know, do you find that you have to remind yourself of the people and the community? Or is that more often in your mind than the business side of things?
Well, they're the same, you know.
Yeah.
My business is to make players happy. If just I can come up with a plan that everybody will like internally, if the players don't like it, so
yeah,
it's these words. It's hard to divorce, and because the just like the fact that, you know, we need to bring that that satisfaction is like it's part of our, you know, just like how we measure how successful we are, actually. And but with that said, it's true that, you know, back to what I was saying earlier on, this is also why for me attending events is so important, because that's how I'm just like, you know, diving into the reality of things, and I just, I can see, no, it's not only talking about, you know, events of number of rounds and just like talking about the software to run all these events. That's actual people who are having tons of fun and, you know, thinking about what we can do as a group and with our tournament organizers to make sure that they have an even better time next time they are at an event.
And you're right, it's all about the balance. So you can certainly, you know, you can certainly break it down and say, oh, well, you know, we had this many people attend and we made this amount of money or we did whatever. But at the same time, you can also say, and these many people had fun. You know, this went off without a hitch. You know, these people said they would come back again. Like, I think you can have both.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, and that's what we shoot for, because otherwise, you know, it's just like it's a one-off and we want to go for the continuity, for just like making sure that when Erin goes to a GP, she wants to come back. That's what is important. Mm-hmm.
And I do. I can't go to enough of them. So you've definitely done a very good job, I would say.
Well, I see, you know, we have very good, you know, very good team and a very good team. So that's also the beauty about working with that long for the company over time. You know, we have been bringing on board very skilled people, so that's nice.
And it also helps that we have one of the best communities out there, too, I have to say.
I'm sorry?
It also helps that we have one of the best communities out there right now.
I am competitive, so I want to think it's the best.
The best? Okay, we'll go with that. We'll call us the best community. I am totally fine with that, Helen.
Okay. Yeah, I'm very supportive. I appreciate that.
And if anyone's not fine with it, we've got a bladed ring with their finger, with their name
yes.
all over it.
And you know, I was telling you that Nomi's not sharp, but I can sharpen it.
I can, you know, in closing, though, you know, you do know that I do an impression of you. Were you aware of that?
Yeah. Just like, yeah. You told yeah. me the day you were doing that, which I was thinking was hilarious.
Yeah, and one of my friends actually had wanted to take the joke a little further, and he was like, you should have an Ask Helen portion on your show where people could, like, write in and ask you questions, and you would answer them as Helen. And I was just thinking of it now. We were talking about the bladed ring, and I could see somebody coming up to you going, well, you know, League of Legends is the best community ever. And you're like, oh, really? And you sharpen your ring, and, you know, Helen's on the case. So
shall we talk?
Yeah. Right? You know, like, who's the best community? And be awesome. So,
yeah.
So, Helen, if anybody wanted to get a hold of you or if they wanted to find you, how can they do that?
Well, to find me in Seattle. you mentioned it. I'm always just, like, reachable virtually on Twitter, which is, like, I was not very creative because I was thinking my Twitter handle should be my name.
I think it should be Enfant Terrible 67543. It's just
yeah, you know, you make me think, you know, if I want to have just like rebranding or something like that, I will just but I will have probably to have you know, put you know, I will make sure that I credit you for it.
Yes. You could be like WOTC Enfant Terrible, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be so much fun. So yeah, back to your question. You know, I'm reachable on Twitter. And really something that I would like to say is that whenever I'm at an event, I love having people just like take the time and to talk to me, to tell me what they enjoy or what they just what they like to tell us. It's just like that makes my event experience so much better. I can take back all these notes with me, just like so yeah.
Okay, so they can approach you at events, oh, they yes. can tweet you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well that sounds good, and I will, you probably get enough tweets as it is, so I feel sort of bad sending even more people to you, but I think you can handle it.
If I cannot, I will just like, Erin, do something, please.
You're going to approach me at events someday and be like, how could you do this? I cannot maintain. And I'm like, oh,
what could you say?
Right? You know, I will get a taste of the enfant terrible, just... That'd be terrible. Well, Helene, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show. Like I said, this is something you don't do every day, and I was super flattered that you would agree to this and that you would come on, and I really can't thank you enough. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. Just like it was nice chatting. I really enjoy your show, so thank you.
Oh, thank you. And if anyone listening has enjoyed the show, you can always find the deck to use first and foremost on GatheringMagic.com. The show is on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Please subscribe and leave me a positive review. You can also keep up with the show on Twitter at the deck tees. I am on Twitter at OriginalEstress, and you can also email me personally at Estress@EliteAstrix.com. Thank you all so much for listening, and please take care of yourselves, okay? Bye.